Welcome to the Hateful Hitman Podcast. Brought to you by Hitman Fantasy Productions. Premier football coverage from college to NFL to fantasy and everything in between. And now, in the Hitman's Hideout, here's your host, Chris Strasbaugh.
Thank you, Kane Harder. Happy birthday to you, buddy. The big 3-6 today. If you're following him on Twitter or whatever, shout him out. Happy birthday, Kane. Does a voiceover for the podcast. He's in several fantasy leagues with me. Big fantasy guy. Just an all-around good guy. Steeler fan. Don't hold that against him. Hope you had a great day, Kane. Happy birthday, man. Welcome into the show Tuesday night. This is the last day of June. I've got some stuff to talk about here, some news in the NFL. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But hope you guys are all staying safe out there and taking precautions to keep this thing from getting out of hand again. I'm trying to do the best I can and, you know, trying to stay away from people and, you know, still practice my social distancing and things of that nature. Hope you guys are too. I'm not going to harp on this. You know, like I have been over past episodes, just, you know, continue to be vigilant in your duties and your activities and try to do what you can to help keep this from getting out of hand again. And on that note, we'll get into the show this evening. I got some news and notes. Let's talk about that first right now.
Here's what we know.
Okay, so the Patriots were docked some money, some draft picks, for this whole Spygate 2 thing they're calling it. You know, anymore, it's like it's not even a big deal. We all expect the Patriots to do dumb stuff and be able to basically get away with it. Now, they're not allowed to use video footage. They're not allowed to tape or record this upcoming season, I guess, is one of the punishments, but they lost a third-round draft pick or something and was fined a bunch of money. You know, at some point, you know, when is enough enough? And, you know, when are they going to stop breaking the rules in the NFL? I don't get it. I don't like the Patriots. This whole thing, it's a laughing matter to me because it's like they do this stuff, and now it's like, you know, Spygate 2, Deflategate. You know, we got all these things to just, it's another reason why I just dislike the Patriots. But I guess that's not the big news. I guess the bigger news would be the signing of Cam Newton to a one-year deal in New England. I've never been an avid Cam Newton fan, going clear back to when he was at Florida. You know, he got dismissed from that team. He went to Auburn. You know, everybody knows the story there. Then he wins a Heisman, and he's, you know, a big-time draft pick in the NFL. I've never been a real follower of Cam Newton. So I reached out on my Hateful Hitman page to basically the true Carolina Panthers savant, you know, that follows my Facebook page, and to a really good friend of mine by the name of Sean Navis. A little backstory on him. He is a former drill sergeant. I've talked about him on this podcast a few times. He's actually the only hero, the true hero, you know, that I've ever met that I can look at him and say, you are my hero. He served for us as an Army Ranger and sacrificed a lot. I'm not going to get into all that for what he's done for this country. So if you know Sean Navis, you see him on my Facebook feed or whatever, you give him the utmost respect because he has definitely earned it. I reached out to him because I wanted to get his point of view on this whole Cam Newton to New England thing. And I wanted him to, you know, kind of go into depth and into detail. And I'm going to read some of the stuff that he sent back to me. He said, I feel the Panthers organization did Cam wrong. There's a history of management releasing its most polarizing players. Steve Smith, Greg Olsen are just a couple of examples. The head coach came in at his press conference. He stated that he absolutely wanted to work with Cam. Well, we later found out that this is a lie. Can't trust a coach that lies on his very first press conference. He goes on to say that Cam has been battling injuries for the past couple of years. That shot to the shoulder against the Steelers, he hasn't been right since. And I think that that's where we're going to pause for just a minute and kind of rest this story on with how good is that shoulder now? Okay. It could be a salary cap reason. It's very possible. Or it could be that Carolina knows a little more than everybody else does, and they know that maybe he's not going to be, you know, functional for their organization. But here's a caveat to that, and if you take him and you put him in Belichick's organization, and there's a few things I want to talk about real quick with that. He's not going to be forced to push the ball down the field, you know, in that offense. He can work underneath and do things to where he doesn't have to, you know, force things down the field, you know, in Belichick's offense. But the one thing that I was thinking about throughout the course of this day when I wanted to talk about this, and I can go back in my mind, you know, and I'm not really sure that Belichick's had a quarterback, you know, of this skill set before. I certainly don't believe he has in his time with New England, just for the sheer presence that Cam Newton is and what he brings athletically, you know, in his mobility and things of that nature. I don't know that Belichick's ever had someone like that before. So, to those who are penciling Cam Newton in as the day one starter now in New England, I can't fault that at all. Okay, but you know, there's also going to be a chance. Now, I don't want to, you know, say the wrong thing here, but they didn't pay him very much. I saw a meme on Facebook. It was pretty funny. It said that he made more money at Auburn than he did signing with the Patriots. So if he comes in to New England and he doesn't have it anymore, and his legs and his feet are messed up, and his arms just, you know, toast, then, you know, they can cut him and walk away and not really be out too much. And then I think that might be the last we see of Cam Newton in the NFL. Now, what I said about Carolina also, you know, holds true for New England. You know, Carolina may know something that we don't, and, you know, New England may also know something that we don't, and they're able to, you know, say, hey, Cam may fit into this, into our system, and flourish for a couple of seasons. You know, and if Stidham isn't the guy, and it is Cam, then I want to finish up by what Sean Navis said on the Facebook page. He said, I feel if Cam is healthy, he will have a very productive season in New England. He'll have an offensive line that will finally protect him. Hopefully his accuracy is also improved. It was up and down with him. He could run when there's no options to throw to, but a lot of those days are over. You will get some rushing yards from him, but not like the old days. I believe he's a good fit for New England. And that's end quote. And I want to thank Sean Navis for sending that in. He's the one guy that will keep it, you know, real on both sides of it. He won't just look at it from a Panthers fan point of view. He won't look at it as, oh, well, you know, screw him. He went to New England. You know, he can go somewhere. I knew he'd give me the straight answer, and he's the one guy that is a diehard Panther fan, and he has been, you know, ever since I've known him. So I appreciate him, you know, taking the time to give me his remarks on that. But to kind of piggyback off of what he said, in that offense, you know, they're going to be able to rely on Sony Michel. You know, they've got a staple of backs there that they're going to roll out. You know, they're going to roll out that 3 or 4 running back thing. That's why you never really can bank on one running back in that system in fantasy. So, you know, but he's going to add a different dimension, you know, because the threat of mobility will still be there. even if Sean's right and he doesn't use it as much, the threat's there. With Brady, there was no threat whatsoever. And if you go down the list of quarterbacks that have been through there, there's not been a lot of mobile quarterbacks that come through that organization, you know, and that goes as far back as, I mean, I was thinking back into my youth with like Steve Grogan. Those guys weren't real were mobile going clear back there. So, you know, New England fans can get really excited for this, and understandably so, that they have a legitimate, you know, stable quarterback who has played at the highest level, won an MVP, you know, as opposed to, you know, banking on the kid that's a one-year guy or his second year now, and, you know, you're just throwing him to the wolves. You know, but it's a real fine line between can Cam come in and be better and compete for that job, or is Cam going to come in and they're going to see, oh, crap, this guy's busted, he's done, we're going to cut bait. You know, so I've already seen people rush out on fantasy leagues and scoop this guy up and everything like that. And I would just say this. I would just caution, you know, if he's free agent availability, sure, go get him. But I would caution making trades, you know, that are going to cost you, you know, deeper. Okay, in the one league that I'm in, a guy traded Dwayne Haskins and a 2021 second for Cam Newton. And I thought the guy who was trading Cam, you know, got the better end of that deal. You got a lot of youth, and you got a future draft pick out of that deal for a guy who, there is a possible chance that he doesn't even make the team. He may get cut. Personally, do I think that? I doubt that they would, you know, bring him in, you know, not to keep him. But I mean, it has been done before. I can't think of any names right off the top of my head, but they've brought in some veterans in their organization that didn't make it, you know, and they were gone. I can't think of any right now, but I'm sure it'll come to me later. But, you know, like, you want to see a better version of Cam than what he left with. You know, you want him to step on the field and be better, you know, than what we saw last time. We don't want the last image of Cam Newton to be the guy who couldn't throw the ball 10 yards. Moving on, saw something on Packer and Durham a little bit ago that was kind of interesting. The Ivy League is seriously contemplating a fall schedule or a spring schedule for their in-conference only football league, which means they wouldn't play in the fall. They would play a conference only season in the spring, and they're debating it very heavily, from what I understand. And it's a very real possibility that could play itself out. It's also a very good possibility that if, you know, this coronavirus keeps doing what it's doing and we can't get a handle on it over the next 30 or 60 days, you know, we may see some of this stuff happening, which is going to seriously affect a lot of fantasy leagues. It's going to seriously affect a lot of NFL leagues that, you know, if guys get sick or whatever, you know, bench players may really play, you know, a real big role this season in our fantasy leagues. I saw a question on Twitter the other day that said, what are we supposed to do if the NFL season does postpone, you know, whatever? And, you know, I didn't chime in because there was 200 comments on this tweet. But, you know, a lot of the answers were, you know, kind of fielded with what I was going to say anyway, was, you know, there was one comment that said, at this point right now, you know, June 30th, we're planning our fantasy leagues as it's going to happen. All the leagues we've drafted so far, you know, throughout Hitman Fantasy Productions, you know, other leagues or whatever, other venues, we've drafted as if, you know, we're going to have the season. And I would just say that that's what you do right now. You keep the status quo until it has to change. And, you know, we're going forward with some of our drafts, some of our in-person drafts. I know I'm scheduling those and getting those lined out throughout, you know, the leagues that I'm in and I run and stuff. And, you know, you can't not plan for it to happen, because if it does happen, then you're not prepared and you're not ready to go. So you have to keep moving until something is directly said that, you know, this isn't going to happen. All right, on to the topic of the evening, and it's going to continue our walk across college football's fantasy landscape. Now we're popping south. We're leaving the Mountain West, and we're headed south to Big 12 country. And I got to tell you, people, there are an exorbitantly large amount of not only college talent, NFL-bound talent, but fantasy talent is overflowing in the Big 12 Conference. So many names that I wasn't even able to get to them all that I wanted to talk about and keep this show, you know, at a decent time frame. I think maybe as I look back on this, the Big 12 may be your secret recipe, you know, when you're mixing your ingredients in your fantasy league. The Big 12 may be your secret ingredient to winning a college football championship this year. And I'm going to run down these list of names, and we're going to talk about them here over the next little bit, and you may get the idea why. The Big 12 is not known for its largely producing defenses. Okay, you can turn on a Big 12 game on Saturday afternoon and it's 35-42, you know, heading into the fourth. There's a lot of points that get scored by these teams, and defenses are optional some days. And, you know, I think maybe as I look through this, you know, and you know, the Big 12 is a Power 5 conference, so, you know, I've had some experience with players out of the Big 12, you know, in my college fantasy experience. But the landscape of this conference is loaded with talent from about every school. I couldn't even get to them all. So, I mean, we'll start at the top with the top two. I think this may be the biggest, you know, conversation that we can have is who's the best quarterback in the Big 12. Okay, for a couple of years, you know, it was, okay, well, whoever the quarterback for Oklahoma, you can probably go ahead and pencil in as the best quarterback in the conference. Well, Baker Mayfield's gone, Kyler Murray's gone, Jalen Hurts is gone, all off to the NFL. Okay, they got a new guy coming in. I'll talk about him here in a little bit. The two incumbent quarterbacks that I really want to talk about, Sam Ehlinger out of Texas, Brock Purdy out of Iowa State. Now, this time last year, you know, if you weren't the Oklahoma quarterback, you wanted Sam Ehlinger, not only in your college fantasy, but also on your Debbie rosters. You know, Sam took a little bit of a hit last year, really up and down. He could come in and throw three touchdowns one game and then come in and throw four picks the next game. And that's not what you want in your college game. You know, on your Debbie roster, it's not hurting you. It may be hurting his draft status long term, but you know, you don't want that week-to-week, you know, problem with Sam Ehlinger. Now, the only fantasy leagues I've ever been in college are at least two quarterback system. So you always have somebody else to fall back on. So if Sam Ehlinger, you know, tripped up one week, you had somebody else to, you know, at least kind of pick up the slack, which is always nice. And I recommend if you're playing college fantasy, have at least a two quarterback system. That way that does happen for you. And it also gives you a chance to learn more about the college players and get more, you know, acquainted with, you know, who's out there. So we all know Sam Ehlinger's upside. You know, he can go out there and he can perform, you know, as a first-round draft pick in the NFL. He can also come out there and lay an egg, and you're like, how in the world, what is this guy even looking at? Okay, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on him. You know, he has the rushing ability. He's a dual-threat guy. This is just a prove-it year for Sam Ehlinger. I mean, you know, a lot of these bigger dogs are out of the yard now, okay? And is it you? Are you the dog in the Big 12 now? Or is it this next guy who I'm kind of leaning towards in Brock Purdy? And also a dual threat guy, may not run as fast as Sam Ellinger or whatever, but you're not hanging your hat on that anyway. Okay, Brock Purdy, Iowa State quarterback. He looks the part of not only a college quarterback but an NFL quarterback. He's got a lot of tools around him, and I'll get through that here in just a little bit. Okay, his offense is really set up and looking pretty for this season. You know, he looks good. He throws the ball well, and he's got everything it takes to be a quarterback, not only in the Big 12, but at the next level also. And, you know, I just gained one share of Sam Ellinger in a Devy League. I made a trade for him just because I wanted to see, you know, if this guy comes out and breaks out this year, you know, I wanted to have that. I'm going to take that chance. So I made a trade for him. But, you know, as I look at this, you know, this is Brock Purdy's conference to jump and say, hey, I'm the dog in this conference. And I'm going to get through running backs, wide receivers, tight ends here in just a little bit. And you're going to hear a recurring theme from the Iowa State Cyclones. But I want to talk about Spencer Rattler. Okay, and like I said before, Baker, Kyler, Jalen Hurts, all thriving quarterbacks in that Lincoln Riley offense down there in Norman, Oklahoma. So now it's Spencer Rattler's turn. Big time offense, he gets his chance to shine. Okay, some people have him as, you know, already setting, you know, as the number two or three quarterback in the conference. Just from what, you know, the keys they're handing him to this Ferrari and say, here you go. You know, go throw the lights out and show these NFL guys, you know, what you're made of. My sleeper quarterback out of the Big 12 has got to be sophomore quarterback Max Duggan out of TCU. 6'2", 190. Had a really good freshman year, 2,000 yards, 15 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Also scored 6 rushing touchdowns. That's pretty impressive for a freshman. Okay. He's going to be the guy again for Texas Christian. He's going to put up good numbers again, and he's only going to get better with time. I love him as a sleeper candidate out of this conference this year. Wouldn't be afraid to grab Max Duggan and use him, you know, here and there if you need him for bye weeks or whatever, like I talk about all the time, you know, a spot filler here and there. So as I look across, you know, the quarterbacks, you know, the quarterbacks in the Big 12, you know, I got to say, man, Brock Purdy has definitely, you know, got his chance to really step up and be the best quarterback in the conference this year. Switch to running backs, and you start right here with Breece Hall, you know, a sensational rookie season as a freshman. 12 games, 897 yards, 9 touchdowns, caught 23 more passes as a freshman. And when this kid got hot, he fell off the free agent market in all college leagues I was in. He was gone quick. I was able to scoop him up in 2 leagues, and I was also able to grab him in our Devy Hitman League. And, you know, the sky's the limit for this kid. He's only going to get better. 6'1", 205, great size, good speed. Put on a film on this kid, and you just automatically are just like, wow, this kid is good. And you pair him with Brock Purdy, and you're like, okay, there's a great 1-2 punch. And I'll get to wide receivers for Iowa State here in just a couple of minutes. But I don't want to jump ahead. I want to talk about Chuba Hubbard, probably the elite running back in the conference. Couple of guys here that, you know, one guy's even getting kind of overlooked in talking about running backs, but I'll get to him in just a second. Chuba Hubbard, 2,000 yards last year, 21 touchdowns, 6'1", 207. Everybody was kind of surprised that he didn't come out. And he went back. I was kind of shocked. I thought for sure he was coming out. So having him back, you know, he's definitely their best running back in the class. And, you know, he's going to have another fantastic season, barring injury and stuff. So if you get a chance, he's going to be one of those running backs that goes pretty quick. He's going to go pretty high in your fantasy drafts. He's going to be gone soon. So if you don't have middle to late round first, depending on how many people are in your league, you know, he's probably a first, early second round guy, depending on, you know, who goes where and how many quarterbacks you play with and stuff. But definitely going to be a premier player for you in college and definitely on your Debbie squad. The other guy I want to talk about very quietly, okay, Kansas running back Puka Williams. He got in a little bit of trouble last year, so he was kind of off the radar the first couple weeks of the season. But he ended up with 1,000-yard season. He did only have 3 touchdowns last year. But he has back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, you know, at Kansas. Kansas. In the Big 12, where they don't play defense that great. You know, these guys are huge names for you that, you know, are going to be gold mines on your teams. Puka Williams is a week-in, week-out player. I got him late in my draft in the championship league I won last year. I got him late in the draft. He was in my flex every single week. And he's kind of getting overlooked because of Hubbard, because of Breece Hall a little bit. You know, he's the kind of the guy that kind of gets pushed to the back of the crowd, and you're like, man, if you could land Puka Williams on your team, you've hit a home run. This next guy, a little bit of red flags because of injury, Kennedy Brooks out of Oklahoma. If he's healthy, he's a weekend play. Every week play. Go, 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 put him in. But, you know, it's a concern with his health. He's been hurt. And, you know, but you can't overlook him. He's there. And, you know, I wouldn't take him in the first just because of injury. Injury plays a factor. Okay, you gotta think about injury playing a factor. And it's definitely that way for the next two guys I want to talk about in the running back position, and that's Keyonte Ingram and Bijan Robinson out of the University of Texas. Keyonte Ingram, quietly solid year last year, not what anybody had projected or expected him to do. They expected way more, you know, bigger things from him. Did get a little banged up. The running back room there in Texas was beat to crap pretty much the whole entire season. He's healthy, coming back. You know, it's going to be his job, but he's got a guy breathing over his shoulder in Bijan Robinson. And if you haven't put on any film of Bijan Robinson, you need to do that, because this kid is really next-level talent. He'll play on Sunday someday, and he's only a true freshman at University of Texas. I like the kid so much that, you know, I was targeting him in our Devy League, and he didn't make it to the second round. So, now, obviously, as a Devy-depleted league that we're in, but he didn't make it to the second round, and I thought he was going to, and he didn't. So, this kid is fantastic, and should Keyonte Ingram stumble or fall or get hurt, they're going to insert this kid, and Ingram's starting days may be over in Texas if it plays out the way, you know, that it very possibly could. And with that, my sleeper running back for the conference would be Bijan Robinson, because if you can scoop him up in your college, if you're in college dynasty like we're doing in the College to Canton League, and you can grab him, you'll have him throughout his time at Texas. That's just a fantastic, you know, draft pick for you. And I kind of expect him to go sooner than later. And if I want him in our College to Canton League, I'm going to have to reach and probably get him. That's how, I mean, he's the number one overall recruit in the country, 5-star running back, just great with the ball in his hands, and he can catch and run and big, and really looking forward to seeing what this kid can do for Texas, you know, in years to come. Okay, so we've talked Brock Purdy, we've talked Breece Hall, and now we're going to go to the wide receivers. We all know Tylan Wallace came back, okay? He's probably the premier running back, or the premier wide receiver, you know, in the conference. 2018, he had 1,400 yards, 12 touchdowns. Last year had a little bit of a fall off, 53 receptions, 900 yards, 8 touchdowns. I do believe he was dinged up a little bit throughout the course of the season, which might make the numbers, you know, a little bit skewed. So we're not going to touch on him too much because everybody knows that name. And if you don't, you know, you should go get familiar with it because he's one of the premier athletes in college football. He's going to go quickly in your Devy or your college drafts as well. But keeping on the theme, the Iowa State theme, okay, we've talked Purdy, we've talked Breece Hall. Now I want to talk Tariq Milton. Okay, now he's not the biggest guy in the world, 5'10", 183. Okay, he's a junior, 35 catches last year, 722 yards, 3 touchdowns. I get it, those numbers don't just blow you out of your seat. They don't. But when you're in an offense like that, okay, and you can go off, and with the speed that this guy has, I put on some film on this kid, and it was like automatically the first thing you recognize is, well, he's not that tall. And, man, is he fast. He gets in the open field, and he's gone. Now, he's not Henry Ruggs kind of fast, but he's that next tier. Okay, he's that group right underneath. You know, he's not Henry Ruggs going to fly out of the fly kind of speed, but he's fast, very fast, elusive, and he makes good catches. And he doesn't care to, you know, to come out of the middle and everything and do what he needs to do, you know, to make an impact for his team. So you factor him in with Breece Hall, and you factor him in with Brock Purdy. There's a triple threat right there already. And I'm not even done talking about that Iowa State offense yet. But the next guy I want to talk about is he's got it all laid out for him. And if you watch this guy last year, he had a fantastic season while CeeDee Lamb was already there. And that's Charleston Rambo, junior wide receiver out of Oklahoma. Now, he played in the slot most of the time. There were a few times I saw him lined up on the outside, but he came out of the slot and worked the middle of that field for the majority of the film and the footage that I watched of him. 43 catches, 743 yards, 5 touchdowns. Once again, not gigantically large numbers for fantasy, but the plays he made were big-time plays. He caught big-time passes. He made great catches, and CeeDee Lamb's gone now. Okay, he's going to have to step up his game, and he's probably going to be the number one receiver there in Oklahoma. Love Charleston Rambo. He's going to get drafted in your leagues. He's going to go, you know, middle rounds, you know, once the top-level receivers are gone, you know, in that next second to third tier, then you're going to find your Charleston Rambos and your Tariq Miltons. That's when you're going to want to scoop these guys up. And you're not going to be disappointed because they're going to catch the ball, and they're in offenses that put up points, and they're also in a conference that defense is not, you know, the forefront of everything. And Big 12 fans would probably be mad at me for saying this, but, you know, it's the truth. You can, on any day, the Big 12 can just go off and just, you can have 100 points between two teams. It wouldn't be right if I didn't talk about at least one guy from West Virginia, so I'm going to bring in redshirt sophomore Sam Jones, wide receiver out of West Virginia, 6 foot 182, only appeared in 9 games last year, 69 catches, 677 yards, 2 touchdowns, doesn't blow you away. I get that. A little bit of an all-purpose kind of guy. He can do a lot of different things, and it just shows you, you know, the depth of play that there is, you know, in the Big 12. Two other guys I want to talk about: Jake Smith and Brennan Eagles. Now, both these guys are wide receivers for the University of Texas. With Sam Ellinger there, you know, he has a prove-it year, we've already talked about. And these guys are going to play big, gigantic roles in that offense. Here's the thing. Brandon Eagles has went on record and said he may not play the season. He may not play the season due to the coronavirus. He may set the whole thing out, which means Jake Smith, who is a sophomore, 6 foot, 200 pounds, 25 catches, 274 yards, 6 touchdowns last year. It's good touchdowns, you know, for only having 25 receptions. But it's going to make him an even more focal point in that passing game, you know, if Brandon Eagles decides to set out. I hope he does not, because Brandon Eagles and Jake Smith, that's a great 1-2 combination. And then you can factor in that running game, take some pressure off Ellinger. That Texas offense is going to be pretty good. So Jake Smith would be my sleeper wide receiver out of the conference. And, you know, he's for Big 12 followers and people who follow the Horns and stuff like that, this isn't a sleeper pick at all for youth guys. This is for people who, you know, don't really follow Big 12, don't really know names. But Jake Smith is a fantastic football player, and he's primed for a very good year with or without, you know, Brandon Eagles on the other side. This conference is so loaded with players, there's a couple of tight ends I want to talk about. Okay, the first one, Charlie Kohler, 6'6", 252, out of guess where? Iowa State. You just got it right. So now you're talking Brock Purdy, Breece Hall, Tariq Milton, Charlie Kohler, and the high-powered, high-flying offense. And I'm also going to throw another name out there that I'm not really going to talk too much about because he showed up in spurts last year. True sophomore wide receiver, 6'6", Sean Shaw. Another weapon for Purdy to throw the ball to there in Iowa State. So it doesn't really take – it's not really a step for me to say that Iowa State has, you know, possibly the most – dangerous offense in the whole entire conference because of the weapons that Brock Purdy has at his disposal all over the field. Charlie Kohler, 51 catches, 699 yards, 7 touchdowns, and he is very athletic. Very athletic. He moves well for a tight end, and he gets open, and he does a really good job in that offense. Now, the next guy I want to talk about, this is a little bit of a sleeper pick. He's a two-sport athlete. He's got a basketball background. 6'4", 257. His name's Pro Wells out of Texas Christian. Last year, he only had 17 catches for 196 yards, but he had 5 touchdowns in 8 games. Okay, him and Max Dugan, the freshman quarterback, had a little bit of chemistry there working, you know, last year. I would not take Pro Wells, you know, as my number one tight end unless you are like me and you just wait on tight ends and they're all gone. If you're in tight end fantasy leagues, you know, get somebody a little bit more solid. But if you do the whole tight end zero thing, which I do more often than I'd like to admit, you know, he would be a decent play for you, you know, week in and week out, especially if it's only a one tight end league where there's no premium or anything like that. You know, he would probably be just fine to put in the tight end position. You know, but if you have a choice over Kohler or Pro Wells, you know, it's obvious you're taking Kohler. And I may have been pronouncing that wrong. I think maybe it's Kohler. So I do apologize for that. I try to get the names and everything, you know, as best I can. But a lot of times Kohler looks like Kohler, and, you know, you get it. So, you know, that's I can't tell you it's just a scratching the surface, because that's a pretty deep list of players right there. I mean, and there's more to be had in the Big 12, but I'm working on 40 minutes already. And, you know, there's other players. And the Big 12, you know, don't forget that the Big 12 puts up big numbers. I've said that throughout this podcast. And it's also safe to say that Iowa State's offense should look pretty darn good this year. So if you have a chance to grab any of those combinations of Iowa State players for your college fantasy teams, do it. Look, I'm telling you right now, I'm targeting Breece Hall early and often. I'm targeting Charlie Kolar just because, you know, I don't like tight ends. But if you have to play one, you have to play one, so you might as well try to get a good one. Don't take my strategy and go tight end zero because it may hurt you. But I can't take my own advice because I do it more often than not. But the Big 12 is loaded with talent. I really enjoyed, you know, going through these names. I knew a bunch of them already because, you know, I had Wells on my team last year. I had Keontae Ingram on my team last year. Puka Williams was on my championship team. So a lot of these names are familiar with me. Wanted to put them out there to you, though. And, you know, there's more to be had. And I'm sure that there's going to be people that pop up, you know, out of the Big 12 that come on and make names for themselves, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into the season, and they're, you know, just putting up big numbers, and you're going to be able to go out and grab them because there's so much talent, not just in college, but in the Big 12 as well. Do not know where I'm going next week. We will see, but we'll definitely be heading east across the country and get into some of these conferences over here, you know, on my side of the United States and start talking about some of these conferences. We'll definitely hit the Big Ten. We got the ACC, the SEC. Look, the American Conference has talent. You know, Memphis, Kenneth Gainwell, you know, can't leave this conference out. So, I mean, we've got some work to do, and we've got some miles to trek, you know, in this college walk. But I'm enjoying it. Hope you guys are too. And we'll see where we go next week. I got another show next week. Brian's going to be back on. We're going to start talking about a co-ownership dynasty that him and I are going to join, and we're going to run the team together. Never done that before. Can't say I'm excited about it, but I'm a little bit curious to see how it goes. But we're gonna jump in and do that together. It's going to be a DST, not an IDP league. I don't want anything too deep, and we're trying to get that into play, and we're going to talk about that next week. And then we'll probably be working on starting to talk about NFL conferences here within the next couple of episodes. So starting to ramp up, people. July's tomorrow. And, you know, we got July, and then that's it. July is the last month without football, hopefully, because in August, preseason starts. So hopefully that's the way it rolls down. But, you know, can't say for sure right now. Seems like the NFL is in good shape. They seem to be a go. College, still not sure on. But anyway, hope you enjoyed that. My name is Chris Drawsball. You can find me on Twitter at Hateful Hitman. You can find the show on Podbean, Stitcher, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Pod, Google Pod, Deezer, Podcast Addict. Anywhere you listen, I do appreciate it. Hit me up with your questions, comments, trades, whatever you got. Be more than happy to help you out. Till next time, have a great evening. See you next time on The Hitman Show.